This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
95% of Uber Eats orders are on time, which is great. Because the only thing I care about more than football is spicy pepperoni pizza for kickoff. But on the off chance your order is late, Uber Eats will give you 3 months, $0 delivery fee with a free Uber One membership. Now that's a spicy offer.
On time claim based on latest arrival time shown after order is placed. Offer ends 2/19/2023. Current Uber One members not eligible. Subscription will auto-renew at $9.99 each month, starting 3 months from initial enrollment. See uber.com/uber1 for terms. Benefits available only for eligible stores. Order minimum supply.
Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favourite podcasts.
England!
Everything Leicester City.
Tune in and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
White Chris.
Oh, White there. Good evening. How the devil are we all? Welcome along. Welcome to along to the channel of the champions. Not only do we have past Premier League champions on this channel, but also the current rugby union champions. 9 years. Thank you. Doug's clapping in the back. 9 years. We used to be the Man United of the rugby union world. Well, we're back. Shame Manchester United aren't. I tell you what is back, though. The Big Fat Football Quiz. Yep, it's coming up. Starts on Wednesday. We're having a pilot edition to see how it goes. This one is called Home and Away. And so, as you can imagine, there's going to be two players involved, and they can choose a home question for 1 point, or an away question for 3. And if they choose an away question, it forces the opponent to go in for the same away question. So it can get tactical. And then we've also got the picture quiz in the middle of that as well. That's coming up Wednesday at 9 o'clock. It looks like this.
It's the quiz of the week.
Are you ready? I'm saying,
you ready?
The big that they're referring to, but yeah, starts 9 o'clock on Wednesday. The Big Fat Football Quiz 2, home or away. I don't know if anybody's actually got Sky Sports News on, but there's a female presenter there at the moment, very pretty young lady. Did she not get changed before she came in the studio? She looks like she's got a nightdress on. Just please, somebody put it on, have a look and tell me. Because, oh no, it's a bloke now. But there's a woman that keeps coming up with this pink kind of negligee, which I think's a dress, but it could be a negligee. But this is what we're doing tonight. You can find us on Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube. Please give us a subscribe if you can do. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast station, thank you very much. Right, let's bring him in before he gets a chance to find the Sky Sports button on his phone. Doug, good evening. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Chris. I'm very well, thanks. How are you, mate?
Not so bad, not so bad. That one went on a bit longer than I thought, that intro, but I'm sure you'll be up for the quiz at some point.
Absolutely. I'm actually looking forward to your pilot episode on Wednesday. It should be very good.
Well, we will see how it goes. It's the pilot episode, so like we say, anything could happen. Can you see what Sky Sports from where you are at the moment?
No, I can't, unfortunately. Yeah. But
I just don't know what you. It's very sexy, I must say that. And of course, you're about to be a married man, so maybe it's a good job you're not watching it. To be fair. One thing that's sorted, I know you've just done a show on it now, Wales.
Yeah.
Obviously, they qualified recently. And I don't know the whole story about it. I haven't had a chance to have a look at it, but Ryan Giggs has stepped down as manager of Wales.
Yeah, and it's a long time coming as well. Literally, he has this assault case, apparently beat up his ex-girlfriend or something like that. I've obviously found this out from obviously doing that show earlier, but this has been a long time coming because Rob Page has been in charge since the 7th of November when Ryan Giggs was suspended as Wales manager. So it doesn't really surprise me that this decision has been made now. And you made a very good point. I think it was either Rich Sports or someone made a very, very good point in the chat that Lopetegui was sacked one day before the World Cup because apparently he had spoken to Real Madrid behind Spain back. Yeah. So they had to get somebody in eventually. I think it was Luis Enrique, I think, came in. Anyway, so yeah, I think the right decision has been made, and I'm glad that Wales now can focus on the World Cup without obviously Ryan Giggs being in the way of Rob Page.
So you may be focusing on the World Cup. I am focusing on Sky Sports News because they keep getting. I don't know who she is, but I'm sure she's not put a top on. Chris Walsh, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Honestly, I know you're not a fan of Sky Sports News, but just put it on. You can't miss this. You really can't. And Rene, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Breaking news that's just coming up here. And because I've got it on silent, of course, I can't say what they are saying. But we are looking at World Cup groups. And we are looking at, and we'll bring it in here, World Cup Group C this week. So Doug, of course, has gone, and we'll come back to his... Oh, the breaking news is about Ryan Giggs. We will come back to look at your predictions for Group A and B. But I have to say that this is the last show before you go away and have a break for your wedding and your honeymoon. So can I first of all say congratulations and wish you all the best for that.
Thank you very much.
Probably got a better chance of scoring than Wales have. But Delamitri's biggest fan, aren't you? Let's just leave it at that, shall we?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
You told me about it. I'm going to bring that up every week now.
Yeah, don't come home too soon. Yeah. No.
Of course, these days you don't get there, so you're even earlier. But we've got the finals now. We've got everybody, all the teams have played the playoffs, they've qualified. We know Wales are in Group B with England, Iran and the USA. Who are the others that were waiting? Costa Rica in Group E qualified. I still don't get... I mean, they were playing Australia, weren't they, I think, Costa Rica?
Yeah, they were playing New Zealand.
Oh, New Zealand, sorry. And if you qualify like New Zealand, why should they then have to play another qualifier?
Yeah.
I mean, we know why, because FIFA want the bigger South American clubs there rather than New Zealand. But it is totally unfair, isn't it?
It is. It is very, very unfair. And you know what? New Zealand would have been a match for Spain, Germany or Japan anyway. I expect Costa Rica to be the same. I mean, Australia had to get past Peru. We obviously watched the penalty shootout last week, didn't we? And that goalkeeper dancing on his line. I wonder if we'll see that at the World Cup. Probably won't. But it is unfair. It is unfair on New Zealand having to qualify again through another playoff to get there. It is very, very unfair.
Yeah. And Australia going into Group D with that penalty win and Pinocchio on the goalkeeping line. If anybody hasn't, and I'm sure there's nobody out there that hasn't seen it, but if you haven't seen the penalty shootout between Australia and Peru, watch it. It is good, isn't it, Doug?
It's very good. It's basically Australian version of Jerzy Dudek from 2005.
Yeah, but Jerzy Dudek managed to at least he kept his I don't know what he caught, but that Australian guy, he took Jerzy Dudek's dance and just took it to the extreme.
Yeah, pretty much.
But all we can do is hope that we get that, hope that we get to see more of that in the World Cup finals. Chris is saying he's got an interesting prediction for Group C. Well, we'll see at the end, Chris. And I'm shocked that Peru went out. To be honest, it wasn't a very inspiring game until the penalties, was it? I mean, the penalties, I think, was the highlight, Doug.
No, I think Peru hit the underside of the post, I think it was, in the second half of extra time. But apart from that, it wasn't a great game of football, let's be honest. But, well done to the Aussies. And I think they've now made their fifth straight World Cup appearance now.
Yes, we mustn't forget that, but they have shifted qualifying groups, haven't they?
They have indeed. Yeah, they have indeed.
So maybe that's Cessnick, I don't know. But just to bring you up to date with some key dates now, August the 6th, we know the Premier League season starts, which is obviously a week earlier than normal. And then November the 12th and 13th is the final round of Premier League matches. I know we've got West Ham, I think it's away, but we've got West Ham. And on November the 21st, the World Cup starts. The 2nd of December, it's the final set of group stage matches. And the 3rd to 6th, the round of 16. 9th to 10th is the quarterfinals. 13th to 14th, the semis. And then hopefully we've all got one of our teams in the final in some form, whoever it is you support, on the 18th. And then it's back, Boxing Day. It's straight back to the Premier League. Now, everybody knows, well, not everybody knows, but I've started doing a debate show now on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, it's going to be so squashed the season. Now, surely this is time for the Premier League to look at it and go, we don't need the League Cup.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Because if you look at the scheduling now, like the Champions League's like, if you've noticed as well, like the European games are going to be very, very close together. Like, I think they're going to be, very, very crammed in, because I think they're starting to go for Champions League group stage, I think, from the 6th and 7th of September. And then I think they finish the first week of November. And I think that's going to be the same with the Europa League and the Europa Conference League as well. So it's going to have a massive, massive effect on teams, I think, as well. Having so many games in between to get to the World Cup in November. So it's good. I think this is why the five subs rules come in, because, you know, I think, you know, it will benefit, you know, the bigger teams, so to speak. But I do think it's a very good idea with the amount of games that's coming.
Yeah, and I think, okay, you could say the five, you know, substitutes may favour the bigger clubs. But at the end of the day, Manchester City, Liverpool, you've only got the same size squad of players that are allowed to play, 25, as Bournemouth and Fulham. So you it's not like you can put any more on, because you've got to name those players in advance. I think it makes sense. Also, of course, as well, as I said, getting out the League Cup, which I think is just, I know they've got their own cups, you know, in the third and fourth tier, and I'm not decrying that, but I just think there's too many games and replays. I mean, we did it the other season with the COVID, where we had no replays for the FA Cup, and I'd bring that back and stick with that.
Yeah, I would as well. Like the FA Cup, you get replays. Like I'm one of these people who still likes the FA Cup, the magic of the FA Cup, and I love when you get replays as well. So 100% agree with you. I do think that they should probably bring back the replays for the FA Cup.
Oh no! I think they shouldn't bring back the replays.
Oh, shouldn't bring it back?
I get what you're saying, because a lot of the clubs are saying, like, you know, well, you know, we draw, say, Liverpool at our place. Let's say, for example, Carlisle, because Chris is in. Carlisle draw Liverpool at Carlisle, and they get a draw. They then go to Liverpool, and obviously they get a hell of a lot of money from that.
Yeah.
But how often, when it goes to the replay, does the smaller club not go through?
Yeah, it usually happens. Yeah,
they've got the chance. So it's on, and again, no disrespect to Carlisle, but you know, it's on a pitch that's not to the standard that Liverpool are used to playing on. You know, they've probably got a better chance of, you know, if you've got to play an extra time or penalties, of going through. And then they may get a Man United or somebody, get the money from that. I just think there's too many games being played, and this season it's going to be ridiculous with having that break.
Yeah, certainly will be. This is the thing as well. Like, the World Cup finals on December the 18th. The next again week is obviously Boxing Day. And there is one difference this season as well. There's no games on the 28th or the 29th of December now, which I think to say is probably the right decision would be an understatement, because I think there's too many games in between. Look, the Christmas period has always been the same. You always get games on Boxing Day. You always get games on the 28th and the 29th. But I just think, because of fixture congestion, and the fact that the World Cup is ending on the 18th of December. I think it's a good idea to just have it this season, not to have games on the 28th and 29th, and then just to go away for obviously New Year.
Yeah, and I think as well, we've got to accept that, Chris, sorry, mate, did I get you excited there? get you. You're the second person I know. When I used to live in Burnley, I used to have a friend up in Burnley that was a Carlisle fan. So, you're my second person I know that's a Carlisle fan. And, of course, we shouldn't forget the Nigel Pearson link, should we, Chris? But I just think sort of the whole sort of the world we live in now is changing. You know, I mean, it's no longer a couple of quid to go and watch your team. You know, it's a fortune to go and watch your team. And, you know, the cost of living and everything like that, you can't afford to go to all the matches. You know, it might be that you buy a ticket for a match on the 28th and that's your Christmas present, if you like. You know,
I saw, was it the MLS? I think I've agreed a deal with Apple TV to show every match on their website or something. So maybe that's something the Premier League might go down the line. But, you know, this is the thing. Obviously, Sky, BT and, you know, all these TV channels have obviously got their exclusive rights to the Premier League as well. But and I do agree with that, Chris. Mm. EFL should get rid of the Papa John trophy. I do agree with that because again, more games. But I read as well that the games. I'll go to Scotland because the Scottish Premiership starts again on Christmas Eve, I believe. Now I've never seen games played on Christmas Eve before, so this is obviously completely new.
Yeah.
The lower leagues will still be continuing when the World Cup's on.
Hmm.
I don't think that's right.
I think I saw that, and in fairness, I didn't put Scotland on the preview that I just had up because I don't like Scotland, no disrespect, and B, I didn't have the space. So, but yeah, I do believe. I mean, that is a ridiculous situation to be in. Chris says here, how about EFL teams only in the Caribou Cup and make it the new expanded Papa John's trophy without the under-21 teams? I mean, yeah, I mean, the Caribou Cup, you could merge that somehow with the Papa John's trophy. Like you say, there is too much. And I tell you what, I mean, I don't know whether, I know a lot of people here don't like TalkSport. I suppose the fact that, you know, I go on it, the fact is I do like TalkSport. In the morning, you've got Jim White and I forgot who he is now, the ex-Palace owner.
Simon Jordan.
Now, whether you like him or hate him, he does sometimes hit the nail on the head. And he said the Premier League clubs are missing a huge, huge marketing. They are selling their rights to Sky.
Yeah.
And having to still, you know, take a share of everything that comes in because it's shared between. When virtually every club now has got its own cameras, its own channels, etc., that they should be showing their matches. So, for example, Leicester matches or Liverpool matches, every single match on Liverpool TV and charging $9.99 a month for the privilege. And I'll tell you something, that would probably be better value than Sky and you probably get more people watching it.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've... Apparently there's like a massive interview with like Matt Letizia that's just like been published as well, and he has gone in on Sky. He has literally destroyed them. So, well worth watching, by the way, that interview. I watched a bit of it, and my goodness me, he really goes in on Sky. And He doesn't hold back. I actually have to applaud him for having a bit of integrity to...
Yes.
I think there was one thing he said that, well, why is a man such as Jamie Carragher still being employed by Sky who spat a girl?
Yeah.
I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
And I'm not defending Jamie Carragher's obviously Liverpool player and all that, but what he did is disgusting, and what he did was a sackable offence.
Yes, yeah, and I think to be honest with you, if you go back as far as Andy Gray, And when he was dismissed by Sky, I think sometimes they have an agenda, allegedly, why they can't just say to people, right, you know, we're changing things around. But I think these days, certain companies, the BBC is another one of them, that have to be, or they want to be seen to be ticking the right boxes.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
Yes, okay, you know, we know that the four people that were doing Soccer Saturday, which I must admit is nowhere near as good as Leicester Televised Soccer Sunday, which that was a class above. And of course, we did have our own Anthony Kamara in there as well. It's not as good as now, you know. And
no,
in my opinion, but anyway, boxes have to be ticked and spaces filled. Talking of Anthony Kamara, welcome along. Welcome to James and welcome to Nippon as well, NS Sports, if you'd be a Chelsea fan. Anthony obviously is a big Southampton fan. Thanks so much, James. Agreed. Rene, we discussed Ryan at the top of the show, so if you want to, sort of, when we finish, go back and watch it. We discussed him there. James says, looking at Group C, Argentina you would think should top the group, then Mexico and Poland to battle it out, but strange things can happen. Indeed they can. Indeed they can. I only watch TalkSport because of Simon Jordan, only person I like from there. Yes, he is, and he sees it from a different perspective. You know, he does. You know, we see everything as a fan, and it's only when you talk to these, you know, ex-managers, ex-players, that you actually get to see things from the other side of the fence, you know. Lads, Man United to buy four players by using their Argos cards. Okay. Right, let's go. World Cup, Group C. Here we go. No Delamitri to be heard. Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, and Poland. Before we get into sort of each individual team, I'm looking at that and thinking that not necessarily a group of death, but I think it is a hard one, because obviously Argentina aren't to be taken lightly. Mexico have sort of have completed, you know, in about the last seven World Cups. Poland, we know the threat they've got up front, and Saudi Arabia, used to the conditions out there, and they'll be taking a lot of fans with them because obviously it's got their next door neighbours. It could be a bit of a surprise in this group.
It could well be. I'm looking forward to this group. I think if I had to say right now, I think Argentina are one of my favourites to win the World Cup. I've been very impressed with them recently. They're in very, very good form, and they've actually got a really good squad coming up now as well. And I think this is the very, very final chance for Lionel Messi now to be sort of compared to Maradona, because Maradona won the World Cup, Messi hasn't. And, you know, the closest Messi's got was the 2014 final against Germany, and they obviously lost that 1-0 to a Mario Götze winner as well. And you obviously, they've got the guy at Manchester City that's coming through, Julian Alvarez, who was at the River Plate at the moment. He's banging them in, so I think he'll be good to watch as well. Lautaro Martinez is another one to watch as well. And this is the thing with Argentina; they always qualify. They're probably one of the first teams to, like, you go through the list of like countries that are trying to like qualify. Argentina will probably be right at the top of that. Brazil will probably be at the top of that as well.
Totally. And you've hit it there. And James says the same thing as well in the chat. Last chance for Messi, really. He's only won the one trophy. I think they won the Copa, or whatever it is, South American equivalent.
The Copa America.
I think he won those with that. But that's his one thing with Argentina. I mean, do you think that when Maradona, and I'm not saying he was any better or any worse than Messi, that's a different conversation, but do you think he had a better group of players around him as a whole than Messi's had recently?
Yes, I think he did. I think he did. I think what Messi's had he's had a very, very good team. The only problem is, I think defensively, and the goalkeeper hasn't been great, but midfield and attack has been very, very good. But he's like their wonder player. And I think Argentina rely heavily on him. I think it's been quite clearly sort of notified that they rely on him way too much. But I just feel that this time around, Argentina could be potentially the one of the favourites for the World Cup. West Ham fans as well, this is one for you. Argentina are managed by ex-West Ham player Lionel Scaloni, if you remember when he played for West Ham.
Well, that is going back a bit, isn't it? You know. I mean, just saying here, it's not been Messi's best season. He's not actually going into this World Cup on top form. But then, how often do we see, and we had this conversation in the week when we did a separate program on Gareth Southgate, you know, sometimes club managers don't necessarily make good national managers. And, you know, we've seen national team managers fail miserably at club level after they step down. And it can be the same for players. I mean, Harry Maguire, absolutely awful season. And I've not got a bone to pick with Harry Maguire. You know, he's no longer a Leicester player. But an absolutely awful season for Man United. But he's never really let England down.
No, he hasn't. And I think you have to say as well, like, Southgate gets a lot of criticism for, like, picking his sort of, you know, his favourites, as you call it. But Harry Maguire hasn't put a foot wrong for England.
No. And do you think with Messi, do you think he's like, he's the first name, what, you know, a poor season for him is probably a reasonably good season for anybody else?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. But looking at this Argentina squad right now, I think it's stronger than usual. Let me just say that. I think the goalkeeping situation has been, you know, clarified. Obviously, you know, Emi Martinez at Villa is a big one. That goalkeeper for Villarreal, name goes away from me, Geronimo Rulli, is Argentinian. He wasn't great against Liverpool in the Champions League, but and I believe I don't know if he has retired or not, but Willy Caballero I still believe is with the Argentine national team, so that could be.
I thought he had stepped down, but I could be wrong.
I could be completely wrong as well. But there's the good thing about Argentina now is that they're very good goalkeepers. Defensively, well, we all know Argentina like a tackle. Let me just say that. They like to tackle. I was probably too young to remember Simeone Beckham in 1998. But these are things that you kind of watch on like YouTube or they do have like programs, I think, on ITV4 sometimes about the World Cup, and I honestly watch some of these as well. So Argentina have been the closest, obviously, since 2014. I feel that they could go really close this time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're fourth in the FIFA ranking. South America, obviously, qualified as early as November last year. Been top four in their round robin group. 18 of the last 22 World Cups they've appeared in. And I think, you know, you're taking that as being like some of those early ones when not all the teams just took part. Won it twice, of course. 86 was the last one. Can you remember that? You won't remember when the one is before that, but it was 1978, which was the, I think that was the Hand of God year, to be honest with you. And the ticker tape year where you couldn't see the green grass because of the white ticker tape everywhere. One good thing about the 78 World Cup, best ever World Cup theme apart from Nessun Dorma going. Puts Delamitri to shame, I'll tell you. I'm not going to let you forget that. Chris says people are going for Brazil and Argentina to win the World Cup. I'm baffled by that, really. Yeah, they're used to the temperatures. Can I remind you who's won the World Cup the last few years? Yep, European teams. Good point, good point. And like I say, everyone's going on about the heat, but it should be you know, air-conditioned stadium, so that shouldn't really matter. Anthony says, would there be more transfers when this World Cup finished than in this window? I think this window is just a sidetrack very, very quickly. I just think this window is waiting for that one big transfer that will spark everything off like a deck of cards or going down, personally. I did not, Anthony, at all. You need to wash your ears out. You know, I know Arsenal fans sort of, you know, block their ears because they don't hear any Arteta talk, but cover your ears. Yeah, and I did see the thing you sent me about Tielemans in an Arsenal shirt, Anthony. I hope you got the one that I sent you back. When I tried to find that Arsenal person, I found this Arsenal. And let me just say, there were some naughty pictures up there on this account. but yeah, I mean, you've got to think that Argentina, like you say, they're going to be sort of one of the favourites, obviously. And like I say, it's that extra incentive for Messi because it is going to be his, like I say, I think his last World Cup. Never say never, but you never know. Now, somewhere I know nothing about, Saudi Arabia, ranked 48th in the world, in the Asian region for FIFA, qualified as late as March, and they're in the top two of their Group B, but they have actually been at six of the last 22 World Cup finals.
Yeah, I can't actually last one they were at, but who rings a bell? And they were on. Let's just say that they were on the end of some very heavy defeats. I think, yes, Germany beat them 8-0. I think one game, and then I think the Republic of Ireland beat them something like 3 or 4-0 as well. They don't do well at World Cup finals. No. I think it's safe to say that. And unfortunately, I just don't see anything happening for them in this World Cup, I'm afraid.
You don't think locality or that will and the fact that, you know, they're going to have a very, very vocal fan base there will help at all?
It might do, but we, as we all know, me and you, we don't really watch a lot of, you know, Saudi Arabian, you know, football, unfortunately. But
you know, I'm surprised.
Yeah. But I have to say, well done on getting this far. But I just think the teams in this group. Okay, they might get something off Poland. They might get something off Poland, but Mexico and Argentina, I think, will beat them comfortably.
Yeah. I mean, 1994, which was their first ever entry into the first World Cup that they actually qualified for, they did actually get through to the round of 16. But I don't know how that was set up, whether they were still doing the groups or not then.
No, 1994. That was when Diana Ross missed a penalty kick.
That was in America, yeah. The World Cup was in America, yes, yeah.
Yeah, and also...
And the net still broke, amazingly.
And also, what was it called? I remember this because there was a song that was sang at that World Cup. Glory Land by... I can't remember the singer, but there was a song called Glory Land. And I remember it because it was on one of my mum and dad's CDs or like cassette tapes when we were like going on holiday. That song comes on and I immediately recognised it. So I think it was something like Glory Land. I think as well. I actually forgotten that they were in the 2018 World Cup, James. So thank you very much for reminding me. And yes, I do kind of remember Russia beating them 5-0.
Yeah. I'm looking here. I mean, they actually, sort of the late 1980s, 1990s, in sort of the AFC Asian Cup, they won it 3 times out of 4 and came runners-up the next time in the one they didn't win it. But they've kind of have gone down to quite a bit since then. But I don't expect you to answer this, but any players that you know of that are any good for Saudi Arabia?
No.
No. Okay. I was putting it out there a little bit. But now, Mexico. I always have a soft spot for Mexico. I do quite like Mexico, even though they did try and cause trouble with Bobby Moore in 1970. Ninth in the world ranking, obviously North America. They qualified again quite late on in March, top three of their group. And they've been to 17 of 22 World Cups. But they've always been the nearly team, haven't they?
Yes, they certainly have. I'm like you. I like watching Mexico. I think they're a very, very good team. Obviously, there is one player who always does really, really well at World Cups. And, you know, he doesn't have the best season domestically. But when it comes to World Cups, Guillermo Ochoa, the goalkeeper, he seems to perform very, very well at the at World Cup. Mm. So he's obviously one to watch. And I think one of the names to watch out for in the Mexico team is obviously Raul Jimenez, obviously Wolves, Irving Lozano, and obviously for Manchester United fans, for good memories, Javi Hernandez. Chicharito.
I was going to say I was trying to think of his name, so I'm glad you came up with that. He had a nickname, didn't he? I can't think what his
name was. the little P, Chicharito.
That's it. And I don't understand why they haven't sort of done better, especially when the World Cup's been over that way. And you know, actually Hernandez is their number one goal scorer of all time.
Doesn't surprise me. He's a goal scorer. He's a poacher, and that's what is very, very good about him. And I think as well that they've got a really, really good squad this time, Mexico, and they'll know that if they do well at this World Cup, then you probably expect them to do well at home World Cup. As well, because obviously the next World Cup is going to be in Canada, Mexico, and the USA, of course.
Yes. I mean, I'm just looking there. Raul Jimenez is actually 7th top goal scorer of all time on 30, and he's only been doing it for like 7 years. So he's obviously got some time left. But let me ask you about Mexico. They hosted it in 1970, they hosted it in 1986, and they're hosting it again in 2026. Now, I know, you know, that these haven't been the fairest way of, we know what FIFA's like for getting, you know, different places to host these World Cups and why. But is it right that sort of countries are getting so many, you know, chances to host it? Or is it the lack of
people coming?
There you've got America. Yeah. America have done it. They will have done it more times than England as well.
Yeah, I know. It is quite a weird one, actually, because you look at like USA, the last one they did was obviously 1994. I don't think Canada like hosted it. Obviously, we had in 2002, we had South Korea and Japan, which I thought worked really, really well as well. Although you'd have to say that was probably one of the most controversial World Cups, if I seem to remember. Obviously, I'm going to be mentioning, obviously, South Korea player name goes for me. I think his name is Han Jang Wang. Scored the winner against Italy and then immediately got sacked by his Italian club, Perugia, for knocking out Italy. So,
yes.
I think I got that name right. But yeah, obviously, if you want to Yeah, I'll put my teeth back in. But I have to say, I am very much looking forward to 2026 because I think Mexico, USA, and Canada, I think it will work very, very well because they're quite close to each other, I think. So, but yeah, it's quite surprising that you know, obviously England have had the Euros as well, but yeah, World Cup last one was obviously. Obviously 66, the last time that they hosted it. So,
yeah,
probably a lack of interest, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, I mean, there's probably various reasons. I'm just looking at 1990 World Cup. Mexico were actually disqualified.
Oh.
Banned, sorry, they were banned. Here we go. The Cacarula scandal was a 1988 association football scandal in which the Mexican Football Federation was found to have knowingly used at least four overage players, one of them being Gerardo Jimenez, though if he's any relation at all, on the Mexico under-20 team, which played at the 88 CONMEBOL under-20 tournament. The World Governing Body imposed a severe sanction, banning its senior and underage teams from all competitions for 2 years. As a result, the Mexico national team were absent from the 1990 FIFA World Cup. The scandal has since been considered a turning point in their history. Wow, well, it corruption's everywhere, isn't it?
Yep, sadly is, unfortunately.
Yeah, I never knew. I'm learning something every week here. Let's have a look. We've got a few comments here. Chris says Saudi Arabia should get beaten comfortably by the other three. Chris Welsh, if you can't beat Saudi Arabia in this group, you should head to the exit door already. You say that, but again, I've started watching a lot of these little YouTube clips about certain World Cups and World Cup matches, and there's a lot of things where you know, you wonder, it kind of alludes to the fact as to why certain teams won. But you know, you look at South Korea when it was held locally, and you can't sometimes write these teams off. Hello, Leicester City. One player from Saudi Arabia is Syed Omran. Remember his goal in the World Cup USA against Belgium? No, Richard, I don't. But thank you for reminding us. I may Google it later. And then we've got one Herbert. Here's the second Herbert. I am saying FIFA ranking. I think you were just trying to get me to say something that you know I shouldn't be saying, Anthony. You're very, very naughty. Argentina and Mexico to go through. Yep. And Chris Welsh, completely agree with you on Mexico. Always a joy to watch for me. One of the outsiders to win whole tournament. Wow. Would you go that far, do you think, Doug?
You never know. You never know the World Cups. Stranger things can happen.
Richard said, no, it's not right. When is Australia going to hold it? I think sometimes it's the cost of staging it. And this is why I think it's going to two or three different countries these days. So you might get Australia and say New Zealand doing it, because actually New Zealand stadiums are going to be closer to the east coast of Australia than Perth on the west coast for traveling. Chris, World Cup should never be held in Qatar and Russia. We do know why. James, I always enjoy watching Mexico in the 18 World Cup. They are an exciting team to watch. They do attack. One to watch for me will be Mexico, Japan, Ecuador, USA, Canada, and South Korea. I'm intrigued to see how they will do. Oh, ones to watch. Sorry, I missed the S off. I thought that's more than one there, Chris. And Richard, he took the whole team on and scored. And we'll Google it later, like I say. So that is Mexico. And we'd said that it was Messi's last chance. Lewandowski.
Yeah.
It's going to be surely his last swan song, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, the thing is as well, like, Poland have finished third of the 1974 and 1982 World Cups, but I haven't actually got past the group stage since 1986. So this is a big opportunity as well. But my only worry for Poland is, will they rely on the goals of Lewandowski too much?
This is it. It's like, but then again, do Argentina's rely on Messi too much?
Yeah.
You know,
you could say that.
I mean, every team does it. You know, Beckham gets sent off against Argentina, and you know, we lost it. Rooney's injured, his metatarsal, which I never heard of before that injury. There seems to be one sort of standout player, doesn't there, for each squad? But I think you look at that and you see the fact that the FIFA ranking there, Anthony, is 26. That's quite low. I expected them to be higher.
I expected them to be in the top 20, but obviously not. But I think they've got some good players, haven't they? Obviously Matty Cash is now. I think they call him in Poland Kaszowski, I think his name is. Which you don't want to cash in on that one.
I'm not letting you get away with it, because you wouldn't publish my jokes on your show earlier again. So I'm not letting you get away with that. Richard says here, I went to the World Cup in 2006 in Germany. I hope they hold it again. I'd be there. The Frankfurter sausages were banging. Yeah, well, each to his own, Roger. That's all I can say. Yeah, we'll leave that one, I think. Chris, there's no guarantees that one team will easily go through. This is an open group between Argentina, Poland, Mexico for me to go through. And Anthony. And Anthony and Richard having a bit of a brotherly argument there. Obviously, Europe, they qualified only through the playoffs. And have been to 9 of 22 World Cups, which, again, I thought it would be more than that.
I thought it would be more than that as well. But yeah, they got past Sweden to get to this this World Cup stage. I think Poland have to hope that they could probably beat Saudi Arabia first of all. I think it's another thing, and then maybe get a point off Mexico or Argentina to maybe go through.
Yes, yeah. You know. Well, we're going to come on to your predictions in a second as to how you think that this will pan out, this group. But like I say, I think it is going to be a difficult group. But let's remind ourselves of how you put the groups down the last 2 weeks. So, if in Group One you sprung a shock, or Group A, sorry, you sprung a shock straight away there, with Senegal going through as the winners, with Netherlands as, going through as well in second.
Yep. No, I've just got a feeling that African teams are going to do well, because they'll know the climate that they've been playing at. I've just got a feeling Senegal are in very, very good form, and I think they could be a match for anybody.
I don't think we're all that far off seeing an African team winning the World Cup.
No, I don't either, and maybe it might be this World Cup. You never know.
And then obviously in our group, it was nice to see a Scotsman putting England at the top, as much as it stuck in your throat to do that. Wales through in second, and I've got to probably agree with you. I think it will be one way or another, first and second there, for those two teams. Interesting thing is, whoever finishes top plays whoever is second in Group A.
Yeah, Netherlands.
Yeah. But they're not the force they once were, but, you know, at this stage, if you are playing any team, and I don't care who it is, whether it's, you know, Ecuador, whoever gets through, if they've done well enough to get to the World Cup and then get through to that, you know, round of 16... They're gonna not, you know, nobody's gonna be, you know, an easy game, is it?
No, definitely not. And you know, we said that Mexico are always the nearly men, but I think it's safe to say Netherlands are definitely more than nearly men, aren't they?
Yeah, they've never won it. They've come close. But again, if you Google Holland and, you know, or Netherlands World Cup, there's a few questions about why they didn't win it, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
Brazil are always favourites every year. And as much as I hate the Germans, I did enjoy that 7-1 victory a few World Cups ago. Right, I need to actually change tack a little bit here, because what I need to do is just load it up so we can now... no, I don't want to do slides. Do Doug's predictions for this group. So this is a share screen one. And, there we go. Unfortunately, the Telegraph, as well as having an advert pop up every 2 seconds, also doesn't save it. So I have to keep copying it. But, right, so let's have a look at this one then, Doug. Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Poland. I think I know how I would go 1-4. Let's see if you agree with me. Who's going to win it for you?
Argentina.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. I think they will. They always see. I think there's only one where I think we knocked them out, didn't we? Where they went home before they didn't get through the group stage 1 year. But apart from that, you know that they're always going to get at least quarterfinals usually for Argentina. Now then, I know who I'm going to go. Will you agree with me? And who are you going for to go through in second place?
I'm going to go Mexico.
I agree with you. We're doing well. You see, there's hope for world peace yet. A Scotland fan and an England fan are agreeing. Who knows where this might lead to? As they said in the Rocky films, I think it was the end of Rocky 4, if you can do it and I can do it, then the world can do it. Or something equally corny. If you're all wondering, you've got to watch the film if you're wondering what I'm going on about. Third, I guess I'm going to go, you know, and I guess you're going to go Poland.
Yeah, Poland, definitely.
And then obviously Saudi Arabia in fourth. I mean, I think that would be, I'd like to see, okay, Mexico. I don't know what it is. I've just got a soft spot for them. And the interesting thing here is, depending when we get onto Group D, that, you know, depending who goes through, you could have Argentina against France.
You could easily have Argentina, France. You could probably have maybe Mexico, Denmark. That could be interesting. Those two games could be very, very interesting. As well. But maybe France might not even qualify because they've obviously got the champions' curse over them as well.
Yes, yes. We will see, but yeah. Anthony says that was Rocky IV. James, 100% Argentina and Mexico to go through for him. Richard says France and Denmark. Oh, we're not onto that. That'll be next week, mate. USA are unknown how they will perform. Same with Wales. Again, we did that last week. Chris is going Mexico, Poland. Unfortunately, your flags haven't come up here, Chris. Mexico, Poland, Argentina in third. Wow. Brazil and Argentina will be the biggest flops for me. There, I said it. I think it's a dangerous group for Argentina. I would absolutely wet my underpants if Argentina didn't get out of this group, because I just don't like Argentina. I don't know how far you want to go back, whether it's the Falklands War or whether it was whoever it was on Beckham that got him sent off. I just don't like it. Don't like Argentina. There's certain teams. We were talking the other day when we were talking about Southgate, about having a foreign manager. I said I couldn't. There's three countries I could not have an England manager from. One's Scotland, one's Germany, and one's Argentinian. I couldn't have any of those managers at all. And let me just get this back to normal. Doug, thank you very much, sir. And what we're going to do is obviously save all your predictions and see how close you are at the end. Now, like I said before, congratulations, your wedding and honeymoon are coming up. There's still time for you to pull out and, you know, do the right thing. You'll do the sensible thing, but I get it. You're in love, so you're going to go through with it. But no, all the best for that, mate. And congratulations on it. Hope it all goes well and you have a great day. All I will say on the day itself is the advice that I was given on my wedding day, which as well as don't do it, was just take some time during the day to just sit down and take it all in, because it absolutely flies by. It really does. Before you know it, you'll be thinking, God, where did that day go? Just take some time for yourself and Rebecca and sit there and just soak it all in. You are going to supply us with your predictions, though, so that it's fair.
Of course, yes.
Yep. You will be ably, I was going to say ably sat on them, but Dan will be sitting in for you the next 3 weeks, and we will see you after that. But all the best, mate, and congratulations. Good luck with it. I'll say don't do anything I wouldn't enjoy, but I think that goes without saying. And we shall see you in three. And well done at actually doing it before the season starts. I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you very much. No, I really do appreciate it. I'm really looking forward to. Yeah, I can't believe it's a week on Saturday now. It's mental. Oh. But I have to say I've been really enjoying doing these shows with you, and I'll look forward to when I come back in about 3 weeks' time.
Yeah. Anthony passes on his congratulations as well. All the best, Doug. Thank you very much, mate. And I will see you on the other side, as they say.
See you very soon. Take care. See you later.
Take care, mate. All the best.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks to Doug there, and all the best to him for his upcoming. And really, do if you can, just take your time and enjoy the day, because it absolutely flies past and you just want to enjoy it. And those 15, 20 minutes that we actually got where we weren't being bothered, it was just great just to sit there and take it all in. James, thank you very much, mate. Take care. So when are we back? Well, I'm at the dentist tomorrow. I'm going to have a couple of fillings. So tomorrow night, I'm not going to be doing a show. And I'll be talking about that probably. the dentist. Oh, not looking forward to it at all. At least it's in the morning. And then Wednesday, we have got the quiz. It is Home or Away, the Big Fat Football Quiz 2. It's the pilot show. Dan is taking on, no, he's not. Yes, he is. Dan is taking on Brad. Dan did say he wanted Brad because he felt he could beat Brad. So, bit of a needle match there, bit of a needle match. And then coming up, we have got also got this coming up soon, which again is a completely new show that we're looking at doing. And that is the Chat Shit Get Bang show, which basically is just going to be no agenda at all. We're going to talk about anything we want to, what you guys say in the thing. So we could end up talking about Jaffa Cakes, end up talking about favourite films, just the way it goes. And we'll always have the things you wouldn't hear, courtesy of Mock the Week, will be a regular feature of that as well. So that is all going to be coming up in the near future. But Wednesday 9, as I say, don't forget it for the quiz. If you haven't already, please do that. Subscribe to the channel, give the video a like, and smash that notification bell so you never miss another show. It all helps the channel. It really, really does. Anthony, you bastard. That's all I will say. Yeah, and then you'll be asking me to say what FIFA's ranking is, won't you? I know you, Anthony. I know the way your mind works. But anyway, guys, thank you very much. That's it. That's all I've got time for tonight. Thanks to Doug for being on. Thanks to everybody in the chat. Yeah, even Anthony, James, two mods there, two new mods. Thank you very much for coming in. Richard, Anthony's brother, you have my sympathy. Chris Welsh, thank you very much as well. Renee earlier, really do appreciate all your input, guys. Couldn't be the same without you, as they say. Thank you for watching. And if you're listening on your favourite podcast platform, thank you for listening as well. I will see you back here Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. Don't do anything I wouldn't enjoy. Good night now.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Watching these videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
Seven similar on the bench. They think it's all over. It is foul.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured, you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.